I want to start off by saying how amazing mountains are and how they're so out the way and people don't really have access to mountains. But when you get up there, if you ever come across one, how amazing it feels and how you literally see life from a whole other perspective that you don't see if you're just in your like city area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to BC once in Kelowna, British Columbia, and I've seen the mountains there for sure. It's amazing.
What's your favorite thing about mountains? Is it just the fact you can see so far, or the fact that you're so far away from civilization? I just fucking love it. Just amazing.
It's the energy. You feel different. The air quality is different. You know, the natural. You can feel the earth. There's a seventh sense you have. You know.
Tell me.
You feel you know how they say there's ley lines?
What's a ley line?
Apparently historical sites are all the pyramids and the pyramid is placed in a spot on Earth where there's a lot of energy from the Earth in that area.
Oh yeah, I know that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's there's lines on the Earth that have more energy than others, and so I just feel that on a mountain you would have more natural energy. I think it's it's not a measurable scientific energy. Maybe it is, and it's just not found yet. But yeah, you can feel it as a human being, I think.
What I find amazing is that when I'm going for walks now, because everyone's not out or everyone's energies are down. There's an actual thing online. You can register. You can actually see the EMF levels in the atmosphere. And it goes up at 6 in the morning when humans get up for work. And it goes down when humans are sleeping. And I really feel the energy difference right now when I just go for a walk. When I go to my supermarket, the energy's different. It's so calm. It's almost people are think the whole world's coming to an end, which it isn't, but the energy is really calm because I can feel energy really really easily. I just sort of feel wow, feels so peaceful. It's almost like when a storm passes and that just peace. It's incredible.
I know what you mean.
It's very similar to mountains though, where the energies aren't what we're used to. We could take for granted just energies in shops and with our friends down the pub. We're used to feeling that, and you go to top of a mountain, even just a walk in the woods or whatever, or now when I go for a walk and there's no one out, it feels incredible. And this is what I think you and me feel all the time, but most people, they have no idea that feeling of just at one with everything. It just is amazing. I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm. Your lungs are full. There's the ionic energy. I feel also there's many factors that give you the feeling of the natural energy, I think.
What do you mean by ionic? Did you say ionic? So,
yeah, it's you know how people say salt lamps are healthy.
Yeah.
To have them? It's because they emit negative ions, which is it's good for the air. So in natural places rivers, lakes, and mountains, especially higher altitudes, I think it's more ionic energy, ionic in the air.
Wow. So the salt lamps, they emit a different energy compared to a normal lamp.
Yeah, they have for the air, because it's salt there, and it's a chemical reaction with the air that emits ions.
So is there any relevance to having the light bulb inside it? Does that make any relevance?
Yeah, because the heat helps it.
All right, okay. Talk about this. So the heat heats the salt, and then there's a reaction from the oxygen and the salt, and it emits a negative energy, not how we think negative energy, bad energy.
It's the ion, the electric electrons in the oxygen molecule.
Amazing. What does that do? What does it do to us or just the atmosphere?
Apparently, it's just healthy. I don't know too much, too deeply the science, but it's just, I would assume it's more, maybe oxygen is more absorbable, or there's some sort of health benefit, free radical damage. Somehow the air is combating your free radical damage in your body. No.
Do you think everyone should at least grow their hair really long just once in their life, because even though when you get older, your hair starts to fall out anyway. It takes 5 years or so to get to a long length. But I just think, because I have really long hair, I think that everyone should at least grow their hair once, just because they will feel different. Like, you just feel different with long hair.
Yeah, that's why I'm growing my hair.
How long have you been growing it for?
I think it's, I last trimmed it like a year ago.
I had long hair for 6 years, and it had seven colors in, multicolored, red, yellow, pink, blue, orange, purple, and green. And it was all the way down to my belly button. It was the colors of the rainbow. And then I decided to shave it off because it was just doing my head in.
Did you feel a difference?
So yeah, I had long hair for 6 years, but you do feel different, like, because everyone else around you doesn't have long hair. Everyone has short hair. So you do feel like this difference, whether it's superiority or just you feel different, or you feel like you're more in touch with nature because you don't always cut in your hair. I mean, I didn't wash it. I washed it like once a month, because if I washed it, the colors will run out. So I washed it like once a month. And so it was greasy, but it didn't bother me. But it did feel really, really good. Annoying though, because when you go out, it flies all over your face. Now I've got shaved hair. I do actually prefer this as a choice, but we go through different stages in our life. That was relevant then, and this is relevant now. I kind of feel like a monk.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to shave your hair off?
I don't think so. I'm going to grow as long as I can.
Do you know much about the new devices that Elon Musk is creating?
I haven't heard of it. I think I saw it in the social media this morning.
What did it say?
Something like Elon Musk is up to something. Like something about... I can't recall. I just saw something. He's on the news.
Do you think he's like the modern day Steve Jobs?
I don't know.
Is it really possible for like the world to actually have electric cars? Like, thinking about it, if you turn every car electric, is that realistic? I don't think it is.
I think it might happen, because but there'll still be like people who love the engine, because like I just got a car and it has an engine, and it's really enjoyable to ride. It's like a manual car.
That's the thing, it is fun having a petrol engine, because you do the gears and that. But the amount of money people are going to save is incredible, especially if the sun is given free energy. Imagine how much the oil industry is going to just go downhill if everyone just has their own solar panels and their own generator, just uses the sun. It's going to change everything. Like, it's going to go from like governments and power to local people and their government.
One argument I know that I heard from Chris is that there's radiation in the cars, in the electric cars.
That's obviously true, because it's battery. But, you know, like everything, what is in just pure battery energy that's coming off.
The motor as well, I'm sure.
Think about an engine, right? That vibration throughout the car, that's having an effect on our bodies, that vibration that we don't even see or hear. Not to mention, like, you know, radio frequencies or whatever, but... like any battery is going to give off something. Is it really going to be worse than like the fumes of an engine?
That's true. That is true for the environment, and you have to consider all these things.
How much do you know about Law of Attraction?
I watched the... I guess I have some manifestation stories. I watched the Law of Attraction when I was pretty young. And so I've been keeping it in my heart for a while.
Do you practice it all the time, or are you just aware about it all the time? So you're not necessarily praying all the time, but you're just like always aware of everything.
Yeah. But I think I'm very inspired to get into it more now. I've been watching some Bob Proctor things, and with Chris and Karen, I'm like, we formed a mastermind to like meet up every week so that we're accountable to like achieving our goals. And so it's part of it.
Yeah, I do feel it's crucial to have someone to hold you accountable. Otherwise, you just get sloppy. Like, if I, for example, just I'm in bed and I just kick off my trousers and leave them on the floor. I can't be asked to hang them up. You get into that pattern. And every night becomes like, I'll just shove them on the floor. And that takes more time in the morning. You wake up and you've got clutter already rather than a clean floor. And that absolutely has impact in your life because it just does. So I hold myself accountable. All the time. You're going to have to get it. Hold myself accountable because if I don't, then I know I'll get sloppy. And I can only blame myself, basically. So... yeah, some people don't have that accountability. That's why mentors are great. Even if they don't stick around for a long time or you see them once a week, the fact that you have somebody who you know you're going to have to answer to and they'll be like, so what did you do this week? Did you do that? Did you do this? Fuck, no, I did. Why did you not do that? It's disappointing. No one likes feeling disappointment. So yeah, just having your little group to hold you accountable is crucial.
Big things, yeah. So how has law of attraction been for you?
I've been practicing it since I was 21. I'm constantly aware that my thoughts are creating things, whether it's I need to go to the shop and get something, or I need to write something on the whiteboard, or I need to cut the grass, or I need to do this. I'm aware that every time I think about something, it's going to happen. So what I do is I just keep up to date on thought because I know that thoughts will always happen. Every time I think of something, I do it immediately. It's almost like emails coming through. I do those thoughts as they come into my head. And as long as I keep doing that, I'll always have a clean inbox, which I do on my Gmail. I have no emails. It comes in, I delete it, I deal with it. So that's the same as my brain. Every time I think about something, I do it immediately. And that way, I don't have a backlog of thoughts. Because years and years and years ago, there was no thoughts. It was just get up, migrate, hunt for food, mate. There was no like, got to do this, got to do that. So all these thoughts are man-made. So therefore, we're not designed to think all the time. We're not designed to have thoughts all the time. Even though a lot of our thoughts aren't our own, they're other people's thoughts. Well, you need to learn to control these thoughts coming into your head, especially if they're from other people, like your friend, the TV advert. So keeping up to date on thought is crucial for especially someone who's ambitious or an entrepreneur, where they've got so much going on in their head. If you don't manage your thoughts like email inbox, you're going to be fucking overloaded with 20 in a row. And that takes like, say, 20 minutes out of your day to go through 20. Whereas if you just apply action as soon as that email comes in, then that takes like 5 seconds. So every day it's 5 seconds. That's why having a clean floor in the morning is crucial because, again, that takes like 10 minutes to hang up. And then the whole life starts to become like that, where you'd be like, oh, I'll just do it later. And then before you know, you've got so much stuff to do. And you have to go out, for example, and you realize, shit, I was going to iron my top and I didn't do it. I thought about it. So my brain thinks I've done it, but I didn't do it. So now you've got a creased top. So now you have to spend more time ironing that top before you go out. And now it's like, fuck, I'm now late for the train. And now you've got to call your friends up and be like, fuck, I'm late. And then it's like a backlog. Everything like dominoes, they all fucking knock each other down, put it in the wrong way. So for me, being in alignment is being up to date with thought. It seems crazy, but if you think it, do it immediately and eventually you'll have no thoughts left. I don't mean like creating new thoughts like an idea, because I think about ideas and I do it. But I'm thinking about if you've got to hang your towel up, which is on your corner in the bathroom, do it now. If you've got to get that lampshade and give it to your sister, for example, because she wanted it 4 months ago, go and do it now. If you know you've got to order those books and take some to the charity shop, do it now. And then eventually you're up to date on all thoughts and you look around and everything's clarity because there's no thoughts, because all the things you look around are things you have to do. Or you've already done them. And it's just like, as I said, the calm in the storm. It's just like, books are done, lampshade's done, towels hang up, my desk is dusted. It's amazing. I can't even explain.
That's a big lesson I need for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, this, you just get a whiteboard. Write all your thoughts down as they come into your head. Right. You go through it. There'd be fucking hundreds. And now you go through them and order them. Monday, I'll do these. Tuesday, I'll do these. Wednesday, I'll do these. And then you have the stuff that's not really relevant. Sometimes there are thoughts in our head that have been there for months because we haven't got around to doing it. So we think about, okay, well, I need to do that. And then you realize that thought is now outdated. It's like getting an old marketing email for a product that was cancelled like 4 months ago. You've got that thought in your head and you get thinking about, I need to do it. But then you realize, actually, my friend's moved house. So I don't need to go around and cut his grass like I promised him. but you don't realize because it just thoughts going around in your head. So writing it down and then going through it and then seeing, okay, what do I need to do? What isn't relevant anymore? You're clearing up your brain. It's like clearing up your junk folder. You like going through the stuff and then sort of, you know, being the stuff you don't need. Because people have so much shit to do.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your shelf, right? I bet there's at least 50% of books there that are probably from your school days, your college days, your mate's book. I need to give him that book back. Books that are just out of date. Books that are just nonsense. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure there's, like, medicine in those pots with, like, two. Bin the bloody pot. Take that two and put it into the next one. Deodorant cans. You've got, like, two deodorant cans open. I'm like, mate, you've got a tiny bit left. Fucking bin that. Clear up your room.
Yeah, I don't use deodorant, but yeah.
And all those little pots, just like nonsense, like hair bands and elastic bands, and then that whole red pot, you'll realize that you don't need that. That doesn't need to be there. Like, you could put all that blue shit in your red pot, and you'll realize that blue pot didn't need to be there. And now you've got a whole load of space where that blue pot is, yeah, where you can now put, for example, your whatever. And then you realize, okay, in that red pot, there's full of shit in there anyway. So now you don't need the red pot. So now you've got a shelf clean. And then you go through your other books and you realize, I don't need any of these books. So now you have one shelf out of your five for just your books. And the other shelves are useless. So then you're like, okay, I could sell that unit for, say, £50. And I can put those books over there in the corner. So now you've got no bookshelf, you've made £50, now you've got space to move your bed that way. So now you've got more space to get out of bed because now you've moved your bed towards the wall. Or maybe your window's over here and you want to wake up with the sun coming in. So now you can move your bed there because the unit's out of the way. So you made £50, you've got more space, and you've decluttered your room. Simple shit like that. I've gone through, I have a bed in my room and a TV and a picture of a cow on the wall. I don't have anything. I've got socks, pants, my wardrobe. I've got my shirts, my trackies, my jeans, my jackets, my hats, my t-shirts. That is it. Simple. Very, very simple. Like, I've had the same shit in my old bedroom for the last 6 years, because if I don't need it now, if I don't need it, it goes. Nothing comes in my room unless I need it. And if I find that off from the stuff that I've had, it's been the same stuff, because if you're doing the same things, you don't need to change anything. Obviously, if I say start to go to the gym, I might need some protein shakes, and that would obviously take up space. But no, a lot of that shit in your shelf, I can promise you, does not need to be there.
I know. I'm on it. I've been wanting to do it for like, I say, years.
All right, then. But I'm going to hold you accountable.
All right.
You need to go through all that stuff in your shelf, right?
Yeah.
And do you have 2 weeks to do it? And you're going to report back to me. You're going to send me a picture. It's either going to be no bookshelf, all the things are in order, or your bed moved there. The point is, you would have gone through all your thoughts you know you should be doing.
Yeah.
And it's so very therapeutic when you go through thoughts that you've had in your head for so long. I mean, I used to have so many thoughts, and it's just stressful. Like, every time you walk past, I need to do that thought. A waste of energy. Like, thoughts are just currents, energy currents. And it's like, how often do you, if you turn a light on every day, energy is being used. Every time you think, your brain's using energy, which means you've got less energy to focus on drawing, for example, or passion or creativity or learning the guitar. And then you realize you don't need much sleep because you're spending less time thinking. It's an all-round enlightenment. It's a whole package. Like, it's literally, that's what I want to do, speaking events, road to enlightenment. And it all starts with clearing out your loft, your garage, your bedroom, your car, as crazy as that seems. Because how are you supposed to go into the future if you're still stuck 5 years in the past of all your shit from school and college and stuff? And most people, they've got stuff there. It's like, I don't even, honestly, 80% of that stuff you won't need.
Yeah.
I've done it with my friends, 80%. It's more than 50%. It literally is 80% of stuff there you don't need, because as time evolves, stuff just goes on the shelf and it just keeps building up. And like 80% of the stuff that comes into your room, you brought it in your room by default. You don't actually need it. So actually 80% of your stuff in your whole room, under your bed, you don't need. So save every human in the world.
It's good shit. Thought patterns. Yeah.
So 2 weeks, I'll be like, send me that picture.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll be very disappointed.
I do today.
Nobody likes to support, but no, it's honestly fun. You'll get excited, and then now you start doing that, you'll start to hoover and dust, and then and do other shit, and then you'll go into your garage and your loft and your car, and you'll be on a flow. Literally, you'll go under your bed, you'll go in your drawers, you'll be like, a fucking condom from 5 years ago. That's my girlfriend's condom. What is that doing there? And then you're like, Jesus Christ, what is that? Whose earring is this? What the fuck have I got that? And then you'd be like, well, there's nothing in my drawers. I don't need these drawers. I'll give them to your mum or something. So, you know, it's really exciting. Once when I was doing it, my mum was like, it's 5 a.m. What are you doing? I said, I just had a burst of energy. I started clearing out my drawers, like going through all my drawers and like fucking T-shirts that don't fit me anymore. Oh, my God. That's when my life changed. Literally, at that point in my life, I came from trapped in my head to enlightenment. My life just changed. Everything. I'd just done every thought which I'd prolonged. Like giving shit back to friends that I'd lent stuff to, stuff I'd borrowed, I gave back, money I owed, like forgave people. I was just doing everything. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's inspiring.
Yeah. Tell me some of your law of attraction stories.
Oh, gee, law of attraction stories, man.
Well, like amazing stuff that you can't explain. Like you were.
Let me tell you the most recent one. Like, basically, I never ever wanted a car. I had the thought that, you know, bad for the environment. There's no need. Better to save money. I also had the mindset of save your money and put it into the stock market and have it grow in a safe place or a more safe place, you know, where it could grow like 10% a year if you put it in an index fund. So I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and that's the message that I got from there. But I didn't get the message that if you want something, you should actually think, you should actually try, if you want something, don't save to don't just save and not buy things you want, you know what I mean? Don't retract your energy. If you want something, you have to expand your energy and make more to it, be able to afford, you know, just decide that you want it. First of all, that's another thing on Bob Proctor's, to decide you need, if you want something, you decide you're going to get it. Then you need the money. Then you'll make the money for it. So, the old paradigm was that, I needed to save money and I didn't need a car, so I would take the bus and waste time in my day or whatever. But then over time, I'm learning new things about you can use your money to for yourself and for your time, because that's precious. So I thought buying a car would be perfect, because I spend about two hours a day on the train for work. And going to work in different places. So I thought I would cut that in half and that'd be amazing, like an hour, extra hour a day. So I was like, it makes sense to me. And also, I'm not in the saving mindset anymore. I'm in the making mindset. So producing. So so I was walking down my street and I saw a car for sale. It was a sports car, Scion FRS. I was like, damn, that car looks good. I want that car. I kept it in the back of my head. I kept looking at it every time I go by. And it was very simple. I let go and then I just you know what, let's get it. Let's see how much it is. Let's go through the process. Cause I think at the time I was getting my G2 or something like that. I was getting my G2 anyways, cause this summer I was going to plan on a road trip, so I was going to rent a car anyways. So I got my G2 very similar time. So then I went on Kijiji and I looked for the car and I found my favorite color, white and black car. And it was just modified the perfect way. And I was like, wow, this is perfect. I want this. But it was a little bit over steep in my budget. I would have basically almost nothing left in my savings. And so I was like, wow, I could do this. So I just kept messaging the seller for a month or two. And it became apparent that it was a good idea because he was giving me a really good deal. And like it was perfect, like condition. He never drove it in the winters. Like everything was perfect. And it just aligned that I went to see it and it was amazing. And he really wanted to sell it to me for some reason. It was just like some sort of, it's just like magic because like he just wanted to sell it to me particularly. And even now he just checks in once in a while, like, how's it going? I hope you're enjoying the car and stuff like that. So, yeah, and I got the car and like I'm driving it everywhere and I'm getting used to it and it's amazing. So that's, I don't know, just by walking by that car that first time, it happened, you know?
See, that is law of attraction, but that's like the smallest law of attraction. That's no different to going to the supermarket, walking past a bag of Doritos and being like, I want that bag of Doritos. And then you keep going past it and you're like, fuck it, I'll just buy it. Like so there's a law of attraction of creating stuff that doesn't yet exist, and then there's taking action on your thoughts that already exist. So that's not really like the true definition of law of attraction, trust the unknown and bring it to you. But that is law of attraction, but not really. You know? Yeah, the proper law of attraction is like you vision something that doesn't yet exist. Like you want a Porsche and you've not walked past the Porsche and you know that you've got 20 grand in the bank or whatever, and it needs to be this engine, this color. And then you're going about your day, you go to your mate's house, he goes to get a McDonald's, but then he goes to get a Yorkie bar at the petrol station. And then all of a sudden, there's a guy next to you with a car, the Porsche, silver, same age. You're like, fuck me. And you say, how much is your car? I can't see the sign. He goes, oh, it's a 19,000. I'm like, 19,000. So I wanted the car for 19 grand. It's silver. It's this, this, and this. That's the law of attraction, where you've attracted yourself to something that doesn't yet exist. And that happens all the time for me. Like to me, it's just a daily occurrence. Like when I first did my first podcast, I just had my whiteboard out. I was thinking, how am I going to get these people? And I went through the whiteboard motion online, in person, friends, blah blah blah. I decided that I need to go to London. So next day, I went to London. I just sat on Trafalgar Square, Leicester Square, and I was just looking around. Who am I picking up the vibe? Went up to that person, not really. Went up to that person, not really. I was in Trafalgar Square. Suddenly got the urge to go to Leicester Square. So I went to Leicester Square. There was a guy busking. I went up to the guy and the guy next to him. I went up to the guy busking, but the guy next to him who's about to come on. I said, hey, do you want to do a podcast? He goes, what about? I said, Law of Attraction, Power of the Mind, Quantum Physics, but I said the whole shebang. And I said, he goes, I know all of it. I said, you got the guy I was looking for. And then it started to rain. So I held the brolly over the equipment 10 minutes after I arrived and we went in to Costa and coffee shop and had a chat for an hour and a half. So let's just rewind. I went to London knowing I'd meet this person. I trusted my gut when I was in Leicester Square, and I went to travel when I was in Trafalgar Square. I went to Leicester Square and I came across this guy. We spent an hour and a half talking about the podcast we were gonna have. A week later, we had it for 3 hours on a Sunday. He was the first guy on my podcast. He knows everything that I know. That is the law of attraction. My mum was like, you can't just go to London and approach random people. You're not supposed to do that. I'm like, what do you mean not supposed to do that? There's no fucking rules. The point is that I trusted my intuition, knowing that I'd find this person. You trust your gut that you're going to get this amazing car somehow. It's going to be the right price, not too far away, mileage is great, the color, and you will come across it. That is law of attraction. And Bob Proctor says, you want to see where you're going. Paradigm shift of just trusting your gut and going forward, and rather than going back, keep going. And this is the thing that The Secret doesn't talk about. They talk about going into the unknown, creating and manifesting your life in terms of bringing the life that you want. But the reason why so many people buy the book, buy the package, and relapse is because they go back to their house and their environment and their fucking bookshelf and their garage and their bed and their photos. It's all part of the past again. So you've almost like seen the light. And then you go back to your house and it's all fucking dark. And it's so dark that there's so much to do in this house. There's so much to do. Like, do your bookshelf, clean your room, fucking sell the lampshade, hang your towel up. That, oh, I'll just do this first. Then I'll go back to that amazing Bob Proctor gallery and start doing that. And then they go back to their lifestyle and their lounge and their garage and their friends and their family, problems and things got to be fixed. And they spend so much time doing that. And then 4 years passes by. And as they're trying to do that, they ain't got time to deal with this new thing coming into their life. So they put that to the side and they continue dusting, going through their book, trying to find the nuts that they lost for their fucking, car years ago. And they stay in that pattern. That is why it's crucial for people when they want to take this journey to go in the past, go to the actual house and deal with all the shit first. I did that. I did all of that. And then I learned the law of attraction because I needed to remove the past to go in the future. Otherwise, you're being pulled back whilst you're trying to go forward. And, you know, Bob Proctor and all that types of people, they teach just moving forward, manifestating. But they never actually explain how you can't just jump there when you're being pulled back. So that's what is crucial. If you want to jump into the future, you have to deal with past thoughts. Put all your thoughts in order. You can't reply to an email that was sent now when you've got emails that were sent 5 days ago. They're waiting. It has to be in line. And what happens is that you respond to the email that's come in now. They say no. And then you go to the email 5 days ago. They've already moved on. So you've lost two people. Whereas if you did it in order, you would have got that person 5 days ago, got the one after, and then the one who's just emailed you now probably will disappear. But you've got two because you did it in order. Because if you just jump and do like the favorite one or the one that's most recent, you'll end up losing both. I know this for a fact. Like I, for example, was selling a book at a car boot sale. Somebody offered me £4. I wanted £6. I ended up taking the book home and putting it in the bin. My lesson was that do it in order. Somebody offers you £4, take it every single time. Don't wait for that £6 book. It doesn't exist. If emails come in, don't reply to this one because it's the first one. Reply to them in order because you'll probably get the six in the past who will deal with you. And that seven one that came in today won't. But you're focusing on this one because it's the favorite one. You lose that. These people have gone elsewhere because you took too long to reply to them. Same as your thoughts in your shit in your room. You can't start manifesting stuff and business ideas and new cars when you can't even, you got no fucking space in your garage for the car because there's so much shit in there. You know, you want like a kind of, you want a new bed, you want a girlfriend or whatever. Okay, so you need a bigger bed. So you're trying to attract a girlfriend, but she, where the fuck's she going to sleep? On the floor? In the lounge? No. So they say, you know, order your room. So you got room for the double bed. Now you can actually attract this girlfriend because you got enough room for her. Sorry, love, you got to sleep in the bathtub tonight. Not enough room on my floor, you know?
Yeah, some powerful lessons, man, especially for me in my life. I can think of one instance now where it was truly law of attraction. When my job that I got, I teach guitar. And so how I dropped out of engineering because I found that, you know, it just wasn't for me. I was playing piano the day before my exams. That's all I could think about was music. Or learning something, right? So I came home and I applied to like only three jobs and I got all three. It's pretty crazy. Like for the music one, I just assumed that I had it and I got the certifications that I needed if I got the job. So before I got the job, I just like pretended I had it and went to do the certifications when you're not really... because they're supposed to pay for your certifications after you get the job. But I just did it anyways because I knew that I was going to get it. And out of like 23 people, I was like one of the people chosen to work.
Absolute law of attraction. You are taking action before you have attracted it. It's a law of attraction, attract action. That's the thing. People, they want to know that they've got it before they take action. That's not how it works. If it feels right, that means you've understood the circumstances, like you're a good guitar player, you've got the look, you're not stupid, you can teach, you can understand people. They're all the factors you need in order to, for example, be a teacher, for example, like X Factor. You can't just sing, you've got to be good looking, you've got to be confident, you've got to be able to speak, you've got to communicate. It's so much more. And if you know that you are all those things, you're not stupid, where you just think, oh, I can play guitar, anyone can be a teacher, then yeah, you won't get it. But if it feels right, it means you've already understood, I am all these five things, I'm going to get it, because... if I was a teacher, who would I choose out of me and other people? I would choose that person because this, this, and this. And then you take the action. It's like paying for a meal and you trust that your friend's going to pay it back next time. Obviously, there's no guarantee. You just have to trust that he will. And so if you're constantly doing that, you're giving, you are serving, you're putting it out there. And now your friend's like, God, he already paid for my meal. He must trust me. And people feel good at the fact that they are trusted. They're not trusting the person, they're trusting themselves. Nothing to do with your friend. You're just trusting your own gut. But then they're like, oh my God, he paid for me. Like, how does he know I could run off and not pay him back? But then because you've taken that cup, he feels good and he serves and gives to you. Now you've got this, now you're in flow. Now you've paid for him, he paid for you. Now you can't wait to pay for him. That's what that service is all about, putting it out there before you expect it to come back. Because everyone's expecting that person to pay first, or they're not going to pay because they don't think they're going to pay them back next time. No, serve, pay. Your friends will pay them back if pay you back if they are friends. And if they're not, well, that's a £30 life lesson that he's not really your friend. I don't want someone in my life who's just not on tune with me. Yeah, it costs you £30. I spent thousands of pounds on life lessons. Thousands of pounds on just lessons for life. But people are like, Jesus Christ, you spent that much on that, that much on that. I must have spent like £20,000 on just nonsense. Like, didn't need to spend it, but it taught me a crucial lesson for life. Crucial lesson. So to me, it's not £20,000 lost. £20,000 lesson. End of the day, it's just trade money. And you're trading knowledge, trading lessons, trading carrots, trading gold. It's just you're just trading something. So yeah, £20,000, it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, I lost £20,000 on my credit cards when the fucking coronavirus plummeted. I don't care, it's no big deal. I'll make it back. Literally.
It'll come back though.
Yeah. Ask me a question. Any question.
Where are you at in your life right now? Like, what's your current like goals and intentions?
So I want to have my own talk show in America. I want to take over James Corden's Late Late Show, and then my ratings will be so big that they'll give me the Tonight Show slot. Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show, yeah? So that's my goal, take over the Tonight Show. I said, okay, James Corden's contract comes to an end in about 3 years. I've got 3 years to get myself out there. How am I going to do that? And then I realized, okay, podcasts, interview situation with any don't know the people. I can show that I can make conversation. I'm funny. I can talk. All those traits that, as I said, you need to have for a talk show. It's not just, okay, I'm funny. You need to be able to talk, sit down with the directors, produce, speak to people. When it goes silent, keep the conversation flowing. These are all skills you need. Like the guitar thing, you know, you have all the five key elements. You can't just play guitar. It's more to that. You took the risk. I am doing all this knowing that out of anyone out there, if you line them all up, if I was a director producer, who would I give the shot slot to? I'd give it to me, hands down. Hands down. Because no one can do what I can do. I can do all the accents, I can sing, I can rap, I can dance, I can do everything. Like, this is all these skills that I would beat anyone over getting. So that's how I know I'm going to get it. Not only do I want it, I'm smart enough to understand that it's a bigger picture. It's a business. You've got to be able to get enough people in so the adverts can be put in during the break, which makes the company's money, which keeps the network running. All this stuff you need to know. It's a business. To me, this is the business. It's going through the motion of a business. It's, you know, getting your orders in, making sure you've got your filing cabinet, your emails, your clients. It's a business. So this is the first stage of the year to get in the talk show. This year, I've got to try and get 1,000 podcasts, right? Joe Rogan has 1,000 podcasts. I want to do 1,000 as well. Okay? You want to be the best, you've got to be the best yourself type of thing, right? So I'll do my podcast this year, and I'm trusting the law of attraction that somehow, somewhere, someone will come across me in my podcasts, in the street or whatever, and be like, hey, I've seen your videos. You want to be a talk show host? Yeah, I do. My name's Jackie. I'm part of CBS production in America. I'm like, oh, talk show? Of course. I'm trusting the law of attraction that somehow I will go from doing these podcasts to getting my talk show. I don't know how, don't know when, I don't know where the middle ground is. Obviously, I could just go to the talk show, but there's like, what's in between? I don't know. That's the whole point. I love the unknown, but I know that somehow I'm going to transition to that talk show chair. I'm going to be sitting down with a talk show network and like writing and stuff and just getting myself ready. I'm creating my life as I'm doing it. I'm taking the action. So yeah, this will eventually end up getting me my talk show. Don't know when, don't know how, don't need to know. I trust the law of attraction. It's the process. Like I trusted I'd meet that guy in London. I just got on the train, 10 o'clock at night time, wrote out how am I going to do this, decided London, went to train next day, London, saw him, bang, came home, mum, dad told you. It's as simple as that.
It's very good. You're a very sharp person, eh? You keep a sharp mind, I can tell. Do you attribute diet to any of that?
Attribute diet. Absolutely. I'm on a ketogenic diet, not a strict one where all I eat is ketogenic. It means that most of my, I have one main meal a day. I fast from 8 o'clock at night till 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's a 16-hour fast. Sometimes I do 18, depends on if I can be asked to do a bit more, right? I have the same meal every day. I have Brazil nuts, walnuts, macadamia nuts, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds. I have salmon. I have egg. I have dark chocolate, and I have a coffee. Have that meal every single day. I've been doing that meal for like 8 months, right? And then
That's
my mum
crazy.
has a family meal, whatever she cooks, bag bowl, whatever the fuck, right? I'm not obsessed, as I said. I eat ketogenic, but whatever she cooks, I just eat. So that meal, oh yeah, and yeah, avocado, olives and stuff. So these are pure fats. I have one meal, I have the same energy throughout the whole day. I can literally run a marathon on that. I've got the same energy levels. When I eat, for example, a sandwich, or I don't have that meal and I have a sausage roll or something, I feel shit. I really feel the difference. My ass feels the difference the next day when I'm taking a shit, but my energy feels the difference. It's crazy. And or I don't really eat anything. I just have like a few nuts and seeds. Like, it's crazy, but that lasts me the whole day. But that's the thing, like, that's where man's come from, hunting nuts and seeds, and we migrate and we walk miles for the next meal a day. We don't need all this stuff. It's just so much money spent on food. Like, so much money is spent on food. Like, you could save £30 a week on food if you just stuck to this diet, for example, and then you could end up fucking get yourself another car in 6 months down the line. I mean, literally, we're shitting at money. We are eating money and we're shitting it out. Literally. Because I can live off of this diet and I feel fantastic.
That's great. Yeah, the fasting is amazing. I need to get on that for sure. I've been vegan for like 7 years now. So I do, I'm like the biggest snacker. So I snack like many times a day, and I'm always eating, and I can definitely tell, like, I don't think it's serving me right now. It's keeping me
I find that when I don't eat and I fast and I don't snack, and the longer I fast, I feel better. Like, you're supposed to have less energy, right? When you don't eat, and that's why people eat, because they have no energy. But then they eat fucking Red Bull and fucking pasta and potatoes and shit, which gives them that spike, and then they go down again. But the longer I don't eat, the better I feel. I feel so light. I feel so free. The energies flow through me, because now there's not an energy like trying to go through like muscles of fucking carbohydrates and shit, you know? Now the current flows, and the fact that all I drink is water, and I have a tea in the morning, coffee in lunchtime, and I have green tea in the evening, but I drink water throughout the day. This is filtered water, right? Filtered.
Got a
And
fluoride.
yeah. And this is a liter, and I just top this up and drink. It's incredible. Honestly, like, water, it is just incredible what it does to people. And you think people drink orange juice, they drink milk, they drink Red Bull, they drink everything but water. And I'm like, if you gave your plant milk, Red Bull, fucking orange juice, you think it's gonna grow? We're no different. Our cells are the same as a bloody plant, yeah? It's not gonna grow. And that's why everyone's got disease, because we're just putting shit and drinking shit. It's like, what do you expect? As you know, a body can't get dis-ease in a body that is at ease. It's the opposite. I don't check my bollocks for cancer. If I'm checking, I'm expecting to find something. It's like Bob Proctor said, if you're trying to lose weight, don't, if you're trying to lose weight, then don't focus on it, because you're looking for it by focusing on it. And if you lose something, what do you want to do? You want to find it. So you find the weight you were looking for. That's why you can't focus on the fat. Just focus on the diet and the exercise, and you just suddenly lose the weight. I'm not checking my bollocks for cancer. Why would my bollocks have cancer? I'm in a body at ease. I'm in harmony. I don't eat shit. I sleep well. Why the fuck could I be expecting it? And then what happens is you feel like a little lump, for example, which you realize is your fucking scrotum, right? And then you're like, oh my God, what if it's a cancer? So you're in that mindset of, fuck, what if it's cancer? I need to go get checked out. Negative vibration, looking at Google, and you create the fucking lump. Yeah. If I get cancer, right, I'll tell myself that God's in control. And I can't, and all this law of attraction, positive mindset is bollocks. Okay, because then if I get a disease, there's no hope for anyone. So I'm just gonna live my life. But a body at ease can't be at dis-ease. It's just not how it works. You can't grow certain fruits in clay, for example. It needs to be nice soil. So why do I think that my bollocks would get a bit of cancer lump? If I'm pure, if I'm happy all the time, eating well, sleeping well, it just doesn't exist, basically. And you look at people and you realise why everyone's got a disease. Because you look at their lifestyle, no sleep, they eat shit, they drink shit, they're negative, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're holding grudges, their room's a mess, that fucking towel's been on that door handle for fucking... Oh, dude.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah.
Talk to me.
Oh, man.
I'm a monk in a mountain. You've arrived to see me. You took 3 days to come and see me. What questions do you have to ask the magical monk in the mountain?
I think you've answered. You've answered.
He's like, you're taking the piss, bruv.
Oh boy, it's I think you would already answered my questions. You know, I would say, what can one do to? Do you think that working it all the time, like say you have this list of things you need to do, and you start doing them, do you think you need a break at some point?
So I purposely don't work on the weekends. Now, I call podcasts work. They're not really work, but it is, right? So I do my podcast Monday to Friday, 2-3 a day. On the weekend, I don't do anything. I pretty much turn off my phone or put my phone to one side, right? And I don't do podcasts. I try to stay off my phone. So my brain has a complete separation from what I'm doing during the week. It takes time to upload, it takes time to book podcasts, it takes time to talk, it takes time, and it's mentally draining, or having to sit upright in a chair to do it. That's why I lie down, because when I first started to do it, I was sitting up. For what? We're not supposed to sit up anyway. I thought, fuck it, I'll lie down. So it is important. As I said, we've come from doing nothing but sniffing, hunting, mating, and that's pretty much it. All these thoughts are sort of natural for us. So yeah, we need time off, and time off meaning you go to work and you're just not on your phone when you finish work, because your brain's still active. If your brain isn't in meditation, it is active. There's no in between. It needs to be shut down completely. Yeah, you sleep, right? But then you sleep so much better when your brain's in meditation throughout the day, or partly throughout the day, as opposed to inactivation, right? Because you've essentially, when you're meditating, your brain frequencies are going down to like a frequency, like beta gamma state or whatever it is. So just because your eyes are asleep, just because your eyes are closed, or just because you are sleeping and you don't realize you're awake, that bit between falling asleep and not, well, the difference of your brain is like, say, a frequency. So if you can meditate at that frequency, even though you're awake, it's still having the same effect on your brain as if you're asleep. Like, you don't need to close your eyes and fall asleep in order to sleep. You just have to get to that frequency, that gamma rate, that gamma type of mindset, you know, beta, gamma, alpha, whatever. It's not, okay, well, I didn't fall asleep, so I haven't had a nap. Well, no, if you could meditate for an hour, it's the same fucking thing to the brain. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Maybe a frequency different, but it's still pretty much sleep. That's why people say if you meditate, they don't need to sleep as much, because you're basically having a nap throughout the day whilst you're still doing stuff. So people don't want to, people don't want to sleep because they think they can't do stuff. Well, that's nonsense. You can still tidy your bedroom whilst meditating. You're physically using your energy to do stuff, but you're sleeping because you're in meditation. You don't have to like set aside 2 hours to sleep and then do your bedroom for 2 hours. You can sleep and do it. So now it's like getting the bus versus getting a car, walking to the bus stop, waiting for the bus, getting on the bus, fucking, that takes forever. Like 2 hours of your day gone. You realize you get a car, bang. So again, you've gained 2 hours. So meditating will save people so much time sleeping. And the only reason why we sleep so much is because of our brains have been so active during the day. Think about it. When you don't really do much, you can't really sleep. But when you've been a hard day at work, stressing yourself out, you need more sleep. So if we don't think about stuff and don't do too much and we meditate, you only need like 7 hours sleep. It's incredible.
I know people that are like that I can see the correlation in my life, where I know people that think a lot during the day, and they need to sleep like 10 to 8 hours. And I know people that are very calm and they don't need sleep. So
yeah,
I see that.
Like, I had 10 hours sleep last night. When I'm doing podcasts, yeah, obviously my brain's really active. I'm sleeping 9 to 10 hours now. I don't set an alarm. I wake up naturally. But I've been sleeping 9 to 10 hours. I'd never used to sleep 10 hours. But I am now because of my podcasts. So my brain needs to kind of, you know, remove the toxins from all my energy during the day. Whereas when I had nothing to do all day, when I was trying to work out what the fuck to do in my life, I needed seven. Seven was fine. That's why there's no such thing as 8 hours sleep. It's all to do with the balance of how much energy have you used. Like your iPhone, you charged 100%. If you've only used 30%, then you only need to charge it for a few minutes or whatever, because you need to get up to 30%, you know. But if you've used your phone all day, it takes like 2 hours to charge. So if you haven't used as much energy, you don't need to, you know, charge it overnight and give it the constant 8 hours charge, because you've only used like 30%. It's the same as our brain. We don't need to have 8 hours as a default. We only need to sleep for the amount we've used during the day. It's a balance. If you've like monks, they could fucking do nothing all day. They don't need much sleep. They get up at dusk, which is like 4 a.m. and they go to bed at, say, I don't know, 10 p.m. which is equivalent to like 18 hours being awake in terms of the night and day thing. They're not tired. But Christ, people get up at, say, you know, 7 and they're fucking tired by 3. Why? Because their brain's been active all day on the computer doing stuff. Our brain's not supposed to do all this.
Makes a lot of sense.
Are you actually going to sort your bookshelf out today?
Well, yeah.
I will hold you accountable.
I'm going to do it right now.
You can do it right now?
Yeah, I'm going to do it right now.
Right now?
Right now, right now.
As in, so we can continue podcasting whilst you're doing it. That would be quite cool.
Well, there's immediate stuff in front of me. I've got, like, stuff, like, I can put away for sure.
No, listen. I'll just continue waffling on whilst you're doing it. So you can go and... You can go and do your bookshelf shit, and I'll just waffle on some inspiring energy whilst you're doing it.
Basically,
when the brain has clarity, it can see everything clearer. So, as we know, unconscious is in our head, conscious is out our head. It's almost like your eye. When you either look out your eye when you're conscious, or you look at the back of your eye when you're unconscious in the subconscious mind. There is a massive difference. I used to find that I used to spend so much time in my head visioning stuff that I suddenly became aware of the outside. And I was like, fuck, it's like when I'm driving a car. I'm like, I've just driven this distance and I don't even remember. Why? Because I was in the back of my head thinking. And that just tells me how there's an enormous power in being aware. And yes, you need to go internally to do stuff, because if you're trying to work out stuff, then you need to either go internally or, as I said to you, get a whiteboard and write it down. So now your internal thoughts become external. I would literally tell anyone, get a whiteboard, because a whiteboard's great as opposed to paper. Not only the environment and all that nonsense, but when you have a piece of paper, you can only scribble it out. You can't rub it out, because even when you rub it, it's still clutter. You can see where you rubbed it. So you want to be able to, like, I mean, I remember, right, when I had all this paper and I wrote all my thoughts down, I was scribbling paper. I was like binning paper. I was scribbling stuff out. It was a bloody mess, because now I've got paper full of writing and things that were just a mess. And I was just like, it was just so clutter. And then I got a whiteboard and I could write my thoughts and I could sort of order the things that I needed to do. And I had a section, it was called past, present, future. And I had to do bin. And I'd put all my thoughts in order. I'd write them all down. Or actually, no, they'll come to my head. And I'd write if that was a past thought, a present thought, or a future thought, or something I need to do. And I'd have, like, say, 5 categories of all my thoughts. And I'd go through all the past ones and just sort of, like, tick them off. Stuff that I didn't need to think about anymore. And I'd go for the present ones. And because I had, for example, like 50 present thoughts, I'd then choose 7 or choose 10 or whatever. Because if you start giving your brain all this stuff to do in one go, it's going to become exhausted. It's going to overload. It's going to get in a panic because it's got like all this shit to do. And it's not going to be able to cope. So that if you just focus on like 7 on Monday, 7 on Tuesday, 7 on Wednesday, 7 on Thursday, that all of a sudden you've done all these thoughts over 3 weeks and your brain doesn't notice the difference. For example, you're doing your bedroom now. It might take you 5 days to do everything. So you're doing your drawers now. Tomorrow you have to do the bed. And then the next day it's the drawers and then the garage. Just your brain won't notice the transition of all this stuff because you've done it bit by bit. Whereas if I were just like, do it all now, you'd be like, oh, fuck me, where do I start? My brain can't cope because you haven't got much energy due to the fact that your brain's crowded. You walk in your room, your brain's full of like thoughts. So now you're tired anyway. So when you do it bit by bit, you see clarity in the corner. So now you've got more energy for the bed. You do the bed and the bookshelf, got more energy for the garage. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I feel free. And as I said, just by looking around your room and seeing there's stuff to do wastes energy. And I had so much clutter in my room. My drawers are full of shit for the last 10 years that from like, you know, just a child, just sat in my drawer, things I kept, train tickets, like what the fuck. And as I said, I binned almost everything in my drawer, but I ended up taking the desk out of my room, taking the drawers out of my room, taking the wardrobe out of my room. And I was left with just some railings where my clothes hung up on, had no drawers. I didn't need drawers. There was nothing to put in them. I didn't need all these drawers. I had so much space in my room because there was just, again, people have so many pots. What happens is that pot fills up with shit, that red one. You go to the shop and buy another pot. Then what happens is shit goes in that pot. And I promise you now, you go in those red and blue pots, you won't need those blue. I bet you 50p, you'll end up binning that red and blue pot because what will happen is the stuff that you need in there can go elsewhere.
I got like knee pads and stuff because of skateboarding, shin pads.
Like you can order that and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, can go in the closet.
Exactly, and now you've got that shelf free. So now that shelf can be used for example, you see how you've got your medicines on the second shelf down or whatever? Now you can have that, just the medicine shelf, and then that shelf becomes just the bookshelf. So now you've got order. You've got the medicines, you've got the books, you've got your DVDs, and you've got your pants and your socks, as opposed to pants, socks, books, medicine, pants, socks, book, medicine, pants, socks, book, medicine. Now your brain's like, well, where the fuck is that? Where's that? Where's that sock? Oh, that sock's up there. Where's the other sock? Oh, it's down there. Energy is now being used trying to find that sock. One sock's up there, two socks down there. Now you've got socks, books, medicines, and you can now order the medicines all facing the front because now you've got space to put them all in order, and you can do it in the size order or herbal versus man or however the fuck you do it. Vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E. Now you don't have to waste energy trying to find A, B, C, D, E, D, or where's the turmeric or where's this. Now you can see it. It's all facing the right way. And when I did all this, I put on my mum's tins of beans and tins of stuff in the cupboard in order. I put them in size order and I put them all facing the front, because then what she would do, she'd get a chair, takes time. She'd stand on the chair, look to the back of the cupboard, trying to find this fucking pot of beans or whatever. So it's like, look, top shelf is beans. Middle shelf is, I don't know, soups. The second shelf is whatever. Okay, tomato sauce, mayonnaise, Marmite. Otherwise, you've got fucking three shelves of everything. And you're looking through all these shelves. Energy, time, less time on the cooking, right? Simple stuff like that. You've got a picture at the top, like on your shelf. Stick it on the wall. Put it in the bin or put it on the wall. What good is it up there? You can't even see the picture. That lampshade. Do you need it? No. Bin it. Give it to charity. Give it to your mum. Give it to a neighbour. Put it in the loft. Don't put it in the fucking loft. You don't need it. You haven't used it for 3 years. Sell it. You know what I mean? Shit like that. And that's just clutter. And then before you know it, you've got a whole top shelf full of space and you can move stuff up there that's probably in your corner. And now you've just got like a corner full of everything and a bed, as opposed to a bed full of shit, full of shit, full of shit, full of shit. Go under your bed, take it all out, order the stuff under your bed, put it on the shelf, bin it, charity it, whatever the fuck, you know? I mean, Jesus, that used to be my brain looking at that bookshelf. It's like, where's that book? Where the fuck is that book? Oh, I'm so stressed. Mom, where's that bloody book? It'd be like, okay, that book's for education books. That book's for nature books. That book's a pal that, that book's a guitar books. I bet you've got like a mixture of guitar books with the Bible and fucking cooking books mixed together. You need to just have like guitar books. And then, for example, you put like a thing in the middle, like, you know, like a book divider. Like a book divider, or just put a cup, for example, whatever. Just separate the guitar, cup, Bible, cup, law of attraction, I mean, this is stuff anyone can do, and it's so simple. And they literally regain their life back, and they gain control of their life because you can't just start learning law of attraction and you've got bedrooms like that. How are you the fuck are you supposed to? It's like trying to put your Ferrari in like first gear and it's tied to a lamppost. All the horsepower is going that way, and the lamppost is pulling it back in terms of it's tied to the lamppost. That's the same as all that shit in your room. And I know you're probably going to do this. I can tell. You're going to literally order all of that. And you're going to get so inspired. You'll put it like size order, alphabetical order, topic order. Because the more you divide it into subcategories, yeah? So you put it into categories like books, medicine, sport, okay? And then you go into like the books, you categorize it, guitar, law of attraction, sport, for example. Medicine, you've got your herbal shit, or like you've got like the pain stuff that you need only when you need it. And then you've got your usual daily stuff like herbs and vitamin C, for example. Now you'd have to spend time like turning them all around, like, what the fuck is that? And as I said, you probably got like a pot there, two vitamin C pots, like the deodorant. One pot's got one tablet in, and the rest of them's got like 60. And you've got all that space for one pot. Take that tablet, put it in that pot. Yeah, honestly, I know you're gonna do
Yes,
it.
I'm gonna do it. Some powerful stuff, man.
I hope it is, and I hope people are listening. We'll tidy their bedroom. Because you will change your life if you just do this shit. Simple stuff. Like, again, no one's got time. They're always trying to do stuff. Do what? Order your bedroom. Well, if you order it now, you're gonna have to find time to order your bedroom.
I've heard a lot of people talk about this, like Jordan Peterson, but I've never heard anyone put it just quite like you.
Well, I am a very, very, very unique human.
How many podcasts have you done so far?
So you're my 44th podcast. I started a
Wow.
month ago, so I've got 50 hours worth of me talking bollocks. Yeah. Right. It's been about an hour. Do you want to plug anything? Have you got any websites, social medias you want to plug whilst you're at? Website.
Just my Instagram, I guess. At Sentharan ST, that's Sentharanst. I am looking to be a vegan, like people help people transition to a plant-based lifestyle. So it's gonna, Instagram is gonna change in a bit.
Yeah, man, this is amazing because I've just had a realization. I don't want to like have topics on my podcast because I need to be free to say what I want. I want to know not where I'm going. That's exciting for me. If I'm speaking about the same stuff over and over again, it's boring for me. It's like a stand-up writing his material. You're trying to be funny. If you're funny, you just need to speak. So these podcasts, right? Imagine that I am talking like this now, and I've got somebody around the world. Hopefully, millions of people around the world listening to me in time, yeah. But they are listening to me and they're doing their bedroom like you're doing. And as I'm speaking, they're doing their bedroom. Essentially, I've changed, like, say, 100, let's just say, millions of people's lives whilst I'm talking and they're doing their bedroom. That is just like, it's my power that I want to have, changing people's lives. And I never looked at it like this. I've always sort of thought, okay, I need to be on stage speaking. Like seminars, like Bob Proctor seminars, teaching like this. But I've realized people have to go out and do that. You can only fit, like, say, 100 people in the room. Whereas if I'm doing stuff like this, where I'm sort of mentoring somebody in real time, doing something like that, then that's quite powerful because they can access millions in one go. Like in 2 hours, millions can literally tidy their bedroom. Seems stupid, doesn't it? Talk with Oliver and tidy your bedroom.
That's a thought.
Okay, right, I'm just gonna press stop and I'll just say goodbye at the end, yeah?
Alrighty.
One sec, you wait there.